This week on Public Address Science, part one of a two-part series on biofuels. There's been a lot of talk about biofuels recently, but what exactly are they? Well, essentially, they're the end product of nature's own solar collector. Plants absorb energy from sunlight and then store this energy by turning water and carbon dioxide into hydrocarbons. By employing an appropriate chemical process, such as burning these hydrocarbons, the original solar energy can be re-released in a concentrated form that we can use. The neat thing, of course, is that burning these plant-derived hydrocarbons only releases the same amount of carbon dioxide as the plants themselves absorbed from the atmosphere in the first place. So from this perspective, biofuels can be said to be carbon neutral, because it's theoretically possible to manufacture and use them without adding to the overall amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. However, there is, admittedly, a potential problem. Because the energy in raw biomass isn't necessarily in a form that can be easily used, then additional energy is required to harvest the biomass and process it into a usable form. Not to mention the energy input that's also required in terms of planting, tending, and fertilizing a biofuel crop. Which leads us to something called the energy yield ratio. In simple terms, this is the ratio of all the energy input required to bring the fuel to the point of end use in comparison to the actual chemical potential energy stored within the fuel itself. The higher the energy yield ratio, the more energy you get out of a fuel in comparison to the energy input required during processing. Some biofuel crops, notably bioethanol from corn in the United States, have an energy yield ratio which is only slightly greater than one. In other words, absolutely pitiful. But it's important to realize that this is by no means the case for all biofuels, and it's certainly not the case for biofuels in this country. You might be surprised to discover that, according to the Energy Efficiency Conservation Authority, New Zealand already gets nearly 10% of its total energy input from biofuels, in the form of firewood and waste biomass burnt in households and industry. Now, of course, this doesn't translate to 10% usable energy output because, for various reasons, biofuels are currently consumed in a rather inefficient manner. But if we could economically make use of more biofuels for simple purposes such as household and industrial heating, then it would have two important results. Firstly, it would displace the consumption of some of the fossil fuels which are currently used for this purpose, and secondly, it would displace the consumption of electricity used for heating, thus freeing up both electrical energy and our electrical networks for other purposes. It turns out that an interesting and relatively new manufactured biofuel could help us achieve just that. Wood pellets have been on the market for a few years now and have the potential to become an important part of New Zealand's energy mix. I talked to George Estcourt, a scientist at Scion, one of New Zealand's Crown Research Institutes, who studies the production of wood pellets in New Zealand. According to Scion's research, wood pellets are among the most cost-effective form of heating in this country, far cheaper than coal, electric resistance heating, or gas. I asked George if wood pellet biofuels have other advantages to offer.
Yeah, I mean, the wood pellet stove is basically designed around the wood pellet. The problem with the normal log fireplaces is that when they're tested to reach their standards of, say, how many grams particulate per kilogram of wood and that type of thing, that's all great when you've got it within the lab set up and you're using the absolute correct firewood moisture content and so forth. But as soon as you take it home and put it in your house and then you start using, you know, a bit of this, bit of pine, bit of tea tree, and you really don't know what the moisture content is, your emissions can be 10 times, 100 times worse than what they were in the lab. But with your pellet stove, really nothing's going to change. So you're always going to reach those high-quality results. The wood pellets themselves are pure wood, which means that there's no other material in there that could cause poor emissions. And the other thing, when you get contaminants, they generally become ash. Anything that can't be burnt ends up in your ashtray. So wood pellets have kind of ash content of around about 0.5%.
And of course, in the sort of systems you're talking about, the wood pellets are stored in a hopper and then they're automatically fed through into the combustion space as required. So it's also much more convenient than a conventional log burner. Now, I think there's a few myths about the inclusion of dangerous chemicals in wood pellets. Would you mind giving a description of how wood pellets are made and telling us what they're actually made from?
The two main feedstocks for wood pellets are either wet sawdust, So that's coming straight off the sawmill bench, or dry shavings. And the dry shavings, they come from, once you've sawn your timber, then you've dried your timber, and then you're basically dressing the timber to put the nice smooth surface on it. Then the shavings coming off there are one of their kind of waste products, and that's one of the best materials to make wood pellets from. The wood waste, such as the sawdust and the wood shavings, have to go through what we call a hammer mill, and that breaks the material down into a very fine particle size. The material, if it's not already dry, like the dry shavings, it will have to be dried. So the sawdust is about 50% moisture content, wet basis, so about half of it is water. So you need to drive all that water off and get it down to about 10% moisture content on a wet basis. Once it's all down at that 10%, then it goes through a pelletizer or a press, and this is when the hammer milled product, which is a very fine looking sawdust, is pushed through a die. So you're pushing the material through the die, it's heating up, the lignin that's within the wood fibre softens, and I think the wood pellet gets up to about 90 or 80 degrees C while it's being formed, and then that lignin holds the wood material together as it's cooling down. It's a natural glue that's within the wood fibre. There's no additives, it's pure 100% sawdust or dry shavings.
Okay, so just to recap, the wood pellets are made from waste sawdust and waste wood shavings, and they're held together by a natural glue that already exists within the wood itself. Now, because the wood pellets are made from waste products, they'll inherently have a very high energy yield ratio. Have you actually calculated or measured it?
Obviously, when you're producing it from a dry shaving, the only energy that you're really using is the electric motor doing the hammer milling, and then also the electric motor that's running the press itself. So there's actually very little energy required. We have people having to dry their sawdust, but one of them was using gas to dry the sawdust. What he's done is he had a wood pellet furnace made big enough so that he's actually burning his own wood pellets to dry the sawdust material coming in, which is then manufactured into the wood pellets. Then you're using a product that you've produced it yourself. You're not using fossil fuels anymore. So again, it would have quite a high ratio.
Now, at the moment, as you've said, the pellets are made from waste wood. But what happens once your market grows larger than the waste wood supply and you've got to use virgin sources? Does the price go through the roof at this point?
I mean, at the moment, there is an abundance of sawdust in the North Island. We think the industry could grow probably maybe tenfold before you'd have to think about actually growing crops to make wood pellets from. And what we're hoping is they're trying to encourage that there's more processing of New Zealand logs within New Zealand rather than just exporting them. And if you can encourage more processing in New Zealand and keeping the logs here, then we get more sawdust and wood waste and things like that. So that will help as well. Double benefit there if you try and get more processing done in New Zealand.
Right, which all sounds very good. Now, exotic wood crops are, so we're told, produced very sustainably in New Zealand. Do you think it would be important to have legislative controls on any biofuel imports to ensure that they're also being produced in an equally sustainable manner?
I think it would be helpful to have some sort of limitations on definitely what we bring in. On the wood pellet side, I can't see that ever happening. We get a lot of emails from companies, mainly Europe, wanting to know if we can export wood pellets to them. So I think there is that possibility that we will be exporting our biofuels out of New Zealand.
So a simple manufactured biofuel like wood pellets, which makes use of sawdust and wood shavings that would otherwise be discarded, can provide clean and efficient heating in domestic or industrial situations, and could make an increasingly important contribution to New Zealand's energy mix. Next week, another big biofuel that could also be manufactured from New Zealand's exotic forests.